Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. A new week begins in the National Football League. On this Thursday in Philadelphia, it's the Eagles hosting the Vikings. Week number 2 of the NFL season about to kick off tonight in the city of brotherly love. And we break it down for you here on this Thursday, as well as some spicy words and a rivalry renewed in college football. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, here we are. Week number 2 of the NFL season about to start tonight. Joe, a week-to-week league where there's not often all that many days off between the end of one week and the start of another. Monday Night Football, not all that long ago. 2 days off, and here we are on a Thursday getting ready to start week number 2.
And a little chill in the air here in the Northeast. Woo! That's what it's all about. Once that nose starts to run, Ben, I start breaking out the pumpkin spice coffee. That's what it's all about in terms of, you know, fall, Oktoberfest, and week 2 of the NFL. But you're absolutely right. We saw this game last year play out in terms of the Thursday night matchup, Philly and Minnesota. Kirk Cousins with an abysmal performance. He got picked off a couple of times. The Philadelphia Eagles dominated the Vikings last year. Now there's 3 players out. Now Bradbury's out along with Kenneth Gainwell. How will that affect the performance of Jalen Hurts and the crew? But I think there's going to be a lot of points in this matchup, Ben. 49.5 could be a little tangy, as they say.
Certainly so. 49.5 is where the total was. It is working in ways, Joe, to 48.5 at times as well, but still a pretty lofty total for the first short week Thursday night football game of the year. Not the only Thursday night football game that we saw, but with the opener last week in Kansas City not being on that short week as it was the first game of the year, a slightly different variation tonight in Philly. But Joe, you're correct. This is the second consecutive year that on the second week of said season, the Eagles and the Vikings meet in a standalone primetime game. Last year, it was Monday Night Football in Philly. The Birds won comfortably, cruising to a 24-7 victory. Now a 6.5-point favorite is Philadelphia tonight. We welcome in our SiriusXM audience here to Football Full Circle. SiriusXM Channel 159. That's the home for Sports Grid Radio on SiriusXM. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. All right, the Eagles a 6.5-point favorite, Joe. Earlier in the week, it was 7. Now take off that hook, only 6.5, but still a strong spread, Joe, in favor of the Birds. Are you surprised at how large the spread is tonight, or do you think it's fitting?
No, I think it's fitting. And you know, there's mixed results from last week's performance in Foxborough. A lot of fans thought it wasn't that great of a performance, and I agree to that in terms of the offensive perspective, but I thought it was a pretty good, solid showing by the front 7. You know, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, old man Fletcher Cox, they won that ball game in terms of the final few minutes in Foxborough, and to me, I think that's where the matchup plays out tonight. You saw Minnesota struggle with a pedestrian Tampa Bay team, losing that ball game, being held to 17 points. Now you have the NFC champs in their building on a Thursday night. I think they're going to be up against it. Again, can Kirk Cousins finally step up in primetime remains to be seen.
Well, that's the idea, Joe, right? The primetime narrative and the struggles for Kirk Cousins. In his NFL career, he is 12-20 straight up in primetime games. But as the quarterback of the Vikings, with the Vikes, he is just 7-9 straight up, 8-8 against the spread. Now, I say that not like he's a world beater or has an illustrious record. It's not good. It's hardly even profitable, depending on where the juice was in the 8-8 ATS mark. But with that being said, Joe, I think the primetime struggles are slightly overblown for Kirk Cousins. Now, here's the caveat as we tie it all back in, because last year in that primetime game against Philadelphia, that was really bad. Kirk Cousins, 27-46, 220-some-odd yards, only a touchdown pass to 3 interceptions, and the Eagles walked all over Minnesota 24-7. It was actually a closer game, Joe, until late in the fourth quarter when one of those costly turnovers from Kirk Cousins reared its ugly head. So it is interesting then to look at these two teams entering tonight and see a full almost touchdown spread in favor of the Birds, who have been booked as a favorite dating back to the start of last year in every game except for Super Bowl 57 against Kansas City. They're 17-3 straight up as a favorite since the start of 2022, including last week on the road in New England, and they are 11-9 against the spread. Joe, the Eagles are no longer the NFC championship favorites, despite the fact they started the year a perfect 1-0 and even covered in Foxborough this past Sunday against the Pats. I do think it's a little interesting then to see this spread for week number 2 at 6.5. The odds have already expected the regression for Minnesota following the 13 wins last year, 11 of them by a single score. I think we're seeing that reflected in this week 2 line as well.
Yeah, you are. And at the end of the day, I don't buy into the line movement in terms of the NFC market championship right now. I mean, San Francisco ahead of the Eagles. I mean, that's great. It was a quality win on the road against Kenny Pickett, but I still think that was a quality win by the Philadelphia Eagles. You give Bill Belichick 6 months to prepare for Jalen Hurts, even though Brian Johnson was on the team and understands the talent. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, and they still won the ball game going away by 5 points. So at the end of the day, if Minnesota is going to pick up this victory, Ben, they need to run the football. Alexander Mattison needs to pound the rock. That rushing attack needs to take the pressure off of Kirk Cousins. In last year's matchup, Dalvin Cook and the rushing attack, non-existent.
Yeah, it was very, very true. You know who was the leading rusher last year against Philadelphia, Joe, for Minnesota?
Kirk Cousins?
It was Kirk Cousins. 2 carries, 20 yards, a 13-yard scramble and scamper being the big difference there. So I would agree, Joe, they have to pick it up on the ground. Alexander Mattison did not do much against Tampa Bay. But, Joe, you mentioned the injuries to Philadelphia in the back end, not the defensive front. As good as you'll find around the National Football League, Joe, north of 250 sacks as a team a season ago. That's the second most by a defense in a single season in NFL history. Only the 85 Bears, the monsters of the Midway, had more than Philadelphia a year ago. And then you add Jalen Carter to that mix, Joe, who had 8 quarterback pressures last week in week number 1 against Mac Jones and New England. The most QB pressures applied around the entirety of the NFL last week. Not just as a rookie, all of the NFL. That is what he was able to accomplish in his NFL debut. But it's the back end, Joe, where you might be a little bit more concerned if you are Philadelphia. And what I mean by that is no James Bradbury, issues at the safety spot, and N'Kobe Dean, Joe, anchoring the weakness of Philly, which is their linebacking core, but being the defensive play caller on the field, not expected to be out there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the rushing attack is important, right? Work off a play action, then attack that secondary over the top end.
And we'll see how they do that tonight for a Minnesota Vikings team that threw the football a ton week number 1 and really the majority of last year as well. We'll continue to break down Thursday night football up next, live right here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us all across Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. Lisi, let's continue to break down week number two. Starting tonight in Philadelphia, it's the Eagles and the Vikings. Joe, we've talked about the injuries to the back end of Philly's defense, and it could be concerning against a team in Minnesota, Joe, we know is going to throw the football a ton. 44 pass attempts for Kirk Cousins last week, albeit in a loss to Tampa Bay for 334 yards. He had a couple of touchdown tosses, three in fact, but did have an interception, or maybe two touchdown tosses last week and an interception. Also did fumble the football away twice as well. A couple of costly turnovers for Kirk. He had three INTs last year in the matchup against Philadelphia. But Joe, that was 73% of the offensive plays throwing the football for Minnesota a week ago. That's following a year in 2022, Joe, where they threw the football on 64% of their offensive snaps, the third highest passing play percentage in the National Football League. So it would seem to me, Joe, it's going to be an aerial attack for Minnesota tonight if the Vikings are going to look to strike the upset in Philly.
Yeah, you have Justin Jefferson, potentially best wide receiver in terms of the game, right? Him, Jamar Chase, and maybe Tyreek Hill. So at the end of the day, you want to get the football to your playmakers, not just the first option, but potentially the second option, right? Maybe Luke Hawkinson in terms of the tight end position, Jordan Addison as well. The ability to spread it around, I think, will take the pressure, obviously, off the offensive line and maybe open up the rushing attack as well. It's going to be critical, Ben, for Minnesota, in my opinion, to start fast. They can't fall behind in this matchup because then they become one-dimensional. The pressure is on Kirk Cousins to lead this team from behind. So the ability to jump up early and then at least breathe a little bit, right? They weren't able to do that last year. They weren't able to do it against Tampa Bay. So that is why it's critical in a road spot, especially when you're playing a lethal offense and Jalen Hurts, to jump up early on that team in Lincoln Financial tonight.
Completely agree, Joe. So we'll see how they do that. The injuries to Philly's secondary have been reflected in the prop market. Justin Jefferson yesterday, Joe, still had an astronomically high receiving yards prop, especially for week number two. It was 88.5. It's already 94 and a hook here on this game day on a Thursday before we get ready for kick in about 8 hours in Philadelphia. Jordan Addison seeing that prop rise as well, 42.5. It was 39 in a hook on Wednesday. Lisi guy TJ Hockenson, the highest paid tight end based on an annual average salary in the National Football League, expected to have a big offensive role tonight against the Birds as well, 49 and a hook. Jay Jett last week, Joe, 9 grabs, 12 targets, 150 yards against the Buccaneers. Jordan Addison, in his debut in the National Football League, 4 grabs, 6 targets, 61 yards, and a touchdown. I'm not saying Justin Jefferson is not going to go over 94.5. I'm never going to bet the under for a Justin Jefferson receiving yards prop. I just think you're getting a better discounted number on Jordan Addison, who I think is going to be a key component of this offensive pass attack tonight for the Vikings as well.
Yeah, and he's a smooth route runner, and he can get open, especially if the Eagles, minus Bradbury, play a little bit more zone in terms of this matchup. So that could be an area to watch. I will say this, in terms of Kirk Cousins, I think he needs to get over his total tonight, right? If the Minnesota Vikings are going to win, he's got to get through his total. I like the look in terms of Jordan Addison. Maybe even look to Madison in terms of the short to intermediate passing game in terms of checkdowns tonight, right? If the first or second option isn't there, maybe it is Madison coming out of the backfield tonight, Ben.
11 carries for 34 yards in his first real game as the replacement for Dalvin Cook. The rushing yards prompts tonight, Joe, an area I'll look at next here. Jalen Hurts, 46.5. He went over this last year against Minnesota. 11 carries, 57 yards, 2 rushing scores, but only 37 yards on the ground on 9 attempts last week against New England. Alexander Mattison, 47.5. Let's talk about DeAndre Swift, Joe. 33 and a hook for the guy acquired this offseason by Philadelphia from Detroit. Last week, one single rush attempt for just 3 yards. Kenny Gainwell led the backfield for Philadelphia last week, 14 carries, 54 yards. But Kenny Gainwell, Joe, not expected to play in week number 2 against Minnesota. I think DeAndre Swift over 33.5 makes a ton of sense. I think DeAndre Swift over 8.5 rush attempts, where the over has plus money at the moment, also makes a ton of sense tonight.
Yeah, again, the rushing attack's going to be critical. I don't know why teams trade or want DeAndre Swift if you're not going to utilize him, right? It's amazing. One carry against New England, it really is amazing. And when you look at such a low total tonight, I'll go the other way, Ben. Rashad Penny's listed at 29.5. He's a bruiser. When healthy, I think he's the best running back on that backfield. And that's not to take away from Gainwell and Swift. But at the end of the day, he could wear down defenses. We saw him step up last year before he got hurt. 29.5. I might alt, and I know this is crazy, but I might, if I could get it, alt Rashad Penny to up to 50 yards later tonight in this matchup.
I like that idea, Joe. Maybe some alt prices that you can find. Let's see if there's alternate rushing yards, not yet, on Rashad Penny. Alternate rushing yards, though, on DeAndre Swift to have 50-plus would be plus 182. Even 40-plus is plus 120 for a rushing yards number at the moment for DeAndre Swift. That is 33.5. Joe, I would agree with you, by the way. 262 for Kirk Cousins going over that prop tonight, 262.5 to be exact. Again, last year, not good in this football game. 27-46, 221, a touchdown to 3 interceptions. That's the bad version. That only extends the narrative that is primetime Kirk Cousins, that I think is a little bit overblown. He has to be better tonight. He has to be better than he was in terms of taking care of the football against the Buccaneers. If you're looking for a bright spot, Joe, in my estimation for the Vikes following last week against Tampa Bay, I think it's this. Their defense was abysmal last year. Abysmal. Historically bad for a stretch of 5 weeks, week 10 through 14. But Joe, they gave up 389 yards of total offense on average last year. Week number 1 against the Bucs, only 242, only 73 on the ground. Brian Flores is now the DC in Minneapolis. I believe he is one of the best defensive minds in the sport. That's a positive for Minnesota. The reason the Vikings lost the football game, again, 3 costly turnovers. The Buccaneers did not turn it over. The Vikings had more penalties, 6 of them, in fact, in critical junctures, than did Tampa Bay. That's the reason they lost outright as a 4.5-point favorite. So 6.5 is a big number, Joe, in my estimation. I don't think the Vikings are as bad as the odds think they are.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I'm a little hesitant to take it or lay it here because I think Kirk Cousins has the ability, if he starts fast, to cover this number. But assuming, let's just say, the Vikings do lose, Ben, if they start out 0-2, I mean, all the pressure again on Kirk Cousins, O'Connell, this team can't live up to expectations. That's why I like the over, right? The sense of urgency in this game, the fact that they got basically shut down in their house by, again, a mediocre pedestrian Todd Bowles, Tampa Bay Buccaneers going on the road now. This is the if Mac Jones could have potentials, you know, touchdowns, 2 touchdowns and put up 20 points with no wide receivers, and then you roll out Hockenson, Addison, and Justin Jefferson against that defense, you got to be thinking we could at least score 24 to 28 points in this ball game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I'm also looking at the over. Initially, I was on the under. Just thinking short week, first short week of the year, 49.5, 48 and a hook where it is now is rather lofty by those standards. And when you look at the entirety of Thursday night football last year, Joe, on a short week, 13 of 16 weeks went under. The only weeks that went over, week 2, between the Chiefs and the Chargers, 51 total points. A wild game between the Cardinals and the Saints, and another one mixed in there, excluding the Turkey Day games, that triple header on Thanksgiving. So the track record says under tonight, I think we go over. We'll have more from Thursday Night Football in week number 2 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live on FFC. Let's talk a little bit more Thursday Night Football, Joe, to get us ready for week number two. We'll have a full preview of the Sunday slate on tomorrow's edition of FFC. So, Lisi, guy, let's focus on the total. 48.5 is where the number stands now for Thursday Night Football tonight in Philly between the Birds and the Vikings. I said it before the break, excluding Thanksgiving, that Turkey Day triple header, which, again, is played on a short week, even later in November, but has a little bit more notoriety. We'll just focus on the single Thursday night football game on short weeks. Last year, Joe, 16 of them, only three hit the over of what this total would be tonight at 48.5. 13 unders, and Joe, it makes sense, right? You're playing on a short week. The prep time is cut down. The game plan can't be installed as early as you would like. The body needs time to recover from that previous Sunday, but it's week number two. It's going to be a beautiful Thursday evening in Philadelphia, and the guys are a little bit fresher right now. So I've started to change my tune, Lisi, bucking the trend ever so slightly to say, I think we see some points tonight in Philly.
I think so, too. And you have a quarterback in Kirk Cousins that could be a human turnover machine. So at the end of the day, that's a short field for potentially Jalen Hurts and that offense of Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So I like the look. Again, I could see this game getting into the 50s. You know, the ability for Kirk Cousins even to maybe get over his total but push a little bit too much, that's always there. More pressure on Kirk Cousins than Jalen Hurts. Even though Jalen Hurts didn't play all that great last week, the fumble, he still won the ball game, right? You know, more pressure on Minnesota to win out because you don't want to start 0-2. We know about the negative effects of starting the season 0-2. Potentially, you're on the outside looking in terms of a playoff spot before the season even begins. So this is why it's critical to score points. You don't want to get into a rock fight with the Eagles. I'd rather get into a shootout and say, you know what? Let's see if Kirk Cousins can outdo Jalen Hurts in that type of environment.
Yeah, I completely agree, right? And that's probably the charge for the Vikings until that defense really takes hold. I think there's going to be some points tonight. Now I go over 48.5. If I wanted to go really minuscule here, Joe, and focus on the molecular nature of it, I would look at the Eagles' first half team total, 13.5, the best first half scoring team last year in the National Football League, averaging more than 18 points per game in the first half in the regular season. Or I'd even look first quarter spread, Joe. Philly has scored first in 17 of their last 21 games dating back to the start of 2022. Last week, it was a sluggish final three quarters for the Birds against the Patriots that led to a few questions about the Eagles looking thoroughly dominant, but they led 16-0, Joe, after the first quarter in New England. If they just kept that up and added on a couple more scores, we would be talking about how the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Niners were all the three most impressive teams by a pretty good margin in the NFL week number one. So I'm going to lay it with the Birds in the first quarter, too. Lay 1.5 for Philly to cover that number in the first stanza.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I lean to the Eagles here. I mean, I could see both sides, but I would be on the Eagles. I do believe Hurts has a big game, and what I mean by that is over the 248.5 now. It opened at 254.5. I think A.J. Brown gets involved. Why? Because Justin Jefferson is on the other side. You know, when you have elite wide receiver talent, they love to show out, especially against each other in terms of a primetime matchup. Devontae Smith struggled a little bit, but maybe Goddard's a look as well in terms of the red zone opportunities. So we'll see how this plays out. Again, I just took a look. Anytime touchdown prop for Penny is plus 230, and I believe A.J. Brown is plus money as well.
I would look as well at those two guys, Joe, A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert. When you think about Brown and Devontae Smith, that wide receiver tandem in Philadelphia, both guys received equal targets and grabs in week number one. 10 targets, 7 catches for each Smith and Brown. You know who only got one target and had zero grabs? Dallas Goedert.
Got it.
His receiving yards prop tonight, Joe, 48.5. He was the leading receiver for the Birds in this matchup last year, had 82 receiving yards. I think it's one of those interesting spots, Joe, where you buy low, right? Following the reaction from week number one, we see the markets change. We see the odds shift. We see a drop in props or an elevation in props, whatever it might be. I think Dallas Goedert has some value there at 48.5 this evening for his receiving yards number against Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, to me, Dallas Goedert's an option. I like that look. I like him. I don't like Smith as much, which is a little ironic. Yeah. You know, I'm always on Devontae Smith, but he struggled a little bit. The Patriots double-teamed him a little bit more, but I like the look. A.J. Brown, yeah. Goddard. Goddard's plus 240, Ben, for a anytime touchdown score. And you know what? If they are going to put up points, maybe even look at him for 2+, which is probably like 7-1 in that area.
Jalen Hurts, minus 110, has the shortest and best price to score a touchdown. Did not score last week against New England, but, of course, had 13 rushing touchdowns in 2022, the second most ever in the history of the NFL for a single season at the quarterback spot. All right, Joe, let's look elsewhere around week number two. We're going to finish with some college football in just a little bit. But as I look up and down the slate, some interesting movement that we're seeing for the Packers and the Falcons. Earlier today, minus 108 on both sides on that money line for Green Bay and Atlanta. The Packers were a slight 1.5 favorite on the spread. Now Atlanta is a minus 118 money line favorite. The Falcons now laying a 1.5 at home. Joe, this game expected to be incredibly tight, as the odds would say. Both teams wildly impressive in divisional games to start off week number one. I wonder how week number two goes in the ATL.
Well, this could be one of my better picks. I like Green Bay. I don't care. And I know I was more impressed with Green Bay winning 38-20 over Justin Fields than I was Atlanta winning at home against Bryce Young. And at the end of the day, I know everybody loves Atlanta. They're a Joe Poe type of team, but I just don't see it. I think Green Bay has the weapons to attack them over the top. I think Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Des Ritter. And you want to give me 1.5? Granted, it's back-to-back road games. I'll take that. I will take that in any shot. I think the Green Bay defense could be opportunistic. And at the end of the day, I'm not scared by Tyler Allgeier. I mean, I know he scored 2 touchdowns and Bijan, but I still think the Green Bay Packers defense can contain them. And really, yeah, the passing game has been non-existent early on for Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, Desmond Ridder was 15 of 18. You wanted to be efficient. He was, but for 115 yards. I think Green Bay, Joe, is a little bit better than the odds expected, and I'm a little bit lower on the Atlanta Falcons than other people are. So I think Green Bay is the right side, now the underdog in this matchup. Joe, there's a couple of big favorites week number two. Buffalo, an 8.5-point favorite. The San Francisco 49ers, north of a touchdown in L.A., a 7.5-point favorite. And, of course, the largest line, the Cowboys laying 9.5, welcoming Zach Wilson in the New York Jets. Do you think those games, Joe, will be as easy as the spreads say they will for all three hefty favorites?
No. Again, I think Buffalo does have a significant advantage, a little banged up in terms of the wide receiver position. Devontae Adams a little bit nicked up. How does that affect Jimmy Garoppolo? But this is the potential for the Buffalo Bills to erase everything that not just happened last week, but in terms of the playoff loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. So I do like Buffalo in terms of that matchup. For Dallas and the Jets, I like the favorite as well. I don't see Zach Wilson. I know he's 2-0. Straight up and against the spread, against every time 7 or more last year. But again, I think Dallas could be potentially the best team in the NFC with the Eagles. So I think that's a route. I love the Rams. Ben, I love the Rams plus the 7.5. I know the numbers suggest differently. Shanahan 7-0 against McVay, but I'm right. I already took him plus 8. I think this could be the upset of the weekend. I might go back to the well with the LA Rams.
You think the Rams can win outright, Lisa guy?
Outright! How about that? I'll tell you what.
It's a
complete overreaction. Everybody that bet against Brock Purdy week one now is on the San Francisco hype train. And I'm not saying they're not going to be there. But this is a perfect spot coming off. The numbers suggest it's going to be a route with San Francisco. I like Stafford. I like McVay in this spot catching points.
Listen, I still have the Rams over 6.5 wins this year. I felt good about it when I bet it, thinking they would find a little bit more of the mean, perhaps, between what they did winning a Super Bowl 2 years ago and how bad a 5-12 record said they were in Los Angeles in 2022. Did not love the bet after all of the issues for Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp being placed on the IR, entering a new season, and then the Rams go out and shock the world, shutting out the Seahawks in the second half, scoring 23 points, and beating Seattle up in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know if this is a touchdown, Joe, so maybe the Rams have some profitability covering a number. I do think San Francisco wins the football game. I do believe the New York Jets keep it closer than we expect because the defense is just too good, Joe, and I think this is a defensive struggle. I think we are going to see this game decided by a touchdown or less, and that's where it's at, 9.5. Dallas will win this football game. Dallas will win comfortably. I'm not sure the New York Jets put up more than 10 or 14 points, but I think Gangreen on the other side can limit what Dallas wants to do offensively. They didn't have to do anything last week against the New York Giants, and they cruise to the 40-0 win. I still think it might be a little bit of a slow start for the Cowboys against the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little conflicted. I think Dak Prescott, I really like the way this team is going. Mazi Smith, yeah. Micah Parsons could have a field day against the O-line for the New York Jets.
And I do think it's wild. The Raiders won outright in Denver to start off their year. Buffalo looked as atrocious as you will find week number one against the New York Jets. And the Bills are an 8.5-point home favorite on Sunday. That tells me Buffalo's winning big. We're back with some college football conversation next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Football is not just the National Football League, Joe Lisi. It is also college football. It is not the most illustrious Week 3 slate, but that does not mean there is not some dandies out there, Joe, because there are. And it's a rivalry weekend in the Rocky Mountain State. The Rocky Mountain Showdown back into our lives, Joe, for the first time since 2019, the 92nd all-time meeting between Deion Sanders' Colorado Buffaloes and Jay Norvell's Colorado State Rams. The reason I bring up both head coaches, Joe, because, boy, it just got a little spicier there in the Rockies. Jay Norvell on the CSU Coaches Show yesterday, Joe, said that because ESPN's College Game Day and Fox's Big Noon Kickoff are both doing their pregame shows, it's no college football today, either of them, but both pregame shows out of Boulder this weekend for the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Jay Norvell said that when he sat down with ESPN for an interview yesterday, Joe, he said this, quote, "I sat down with ESPN today. I took my hat off and I took my glasses off. And I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught me." End quote. That is in direct reference, of course, to the fact that Deion Sanders likes to wear the shades and likes to rep his Colorado hat, as he does at every press conference and every media availability. Now, Joe, last week Colorado claimed it was personal against the old Big 8 rival in Nebraska because of Matt Rhule leading the Huskers to the midfield logo on Ralphie last week for a pregame moment of reflection and prayer. Shador Sanders went in there and broke it up as he started his pregame warmups. Matt Rhule had some veiled comments way back a couple of months ago after both he was hired at Nebraska and Deion was at Colorado and said some things about the transfer portal, about Deion Sanders' approach and how he did not maybe necessarily agree with it. Well, Colorado took it personal, and Colorado blew out Nebraska 36-14. Joe, there's that saying, don't poke the bear. It sounds like Jay Norvell might be poking a lot of bears there in Boulder.
You know, I'm really upset about this, to be honest with you, okay? Because this
are you?
Yes. I'll tell you why. It was a perfect, and I mean perfect, letdown spot for Colorado, okay? And this, I'll tell you why. They take on the national champion runner-ups in TCU. They're intense, right? That's a huge game. They get the outright win, right? Then you follow it up with a rematch rivalry of the Big 8 days. It's personal with Matt Rhule and Shedeur Sanders. Emotional beatdown in terms of Boulder, right? Now you have a rivalry game, but we know Colorado State is on the same level as TCU and Nebraska in terms of notoriety, right? Even though it's a rivalry game. And oh, by the way, they have to travel to Eugene next week with Bo Nix and Oregon, who's a top 10 team. That's a potential look ahead spot. And Jay Norvell, out of the blue, gives them bulletin board material. Are you absolutely clueless, Jay? I mean, you were ripe for the 23.5. I still might take them, but it's a lot harder now.
Yeah, I get it. I really do get that. I wasn't sure what you were going with, Lisi, when you said you were really peeved by this and aggravated by it, but now it makes sense. I agree, because I think Colorado's going to barnstorm them now, because when you give Deion Sanders motivation, false or not, he uses it to the best of them. He's an incredible motivator, much like Nick Saban or a Kirby Smart, right? They take these false narratives, they form rat poison, and it benefits their football team. Not one single person in the world, not just the United States, but you could have gone to Thailand and asked somebody about the Georgia Bulldogs in 2022, and they would have still predicted at least double-digit wins for Kirby Smart. So the fact that somebody said they were going to be a 5-7 football team was one of the fakest things in the world. I'm not sure Matt Rhule really provided Colorado inspiration last week outside of the atmosphere and the home opener, but Deion knows how to play the game. This is Deion frickin' Sanders. He sat there on draft night when he was going to the National Football League after a prolific college career at Florida State. He crowned himself primetime. He said, look good, feel good, play good. And all of a sudden, we're surprised that he's a big personality? What are we doing? That is Deion Sanders. That is how he operates. And frankly, it is how he has been successful and continues to be at Colorado. So it's an interesting choice of words from Jay Norvell. I love it, Joe, for the environment, the excitement, the rivalry nature of it. I love it because I was going to bet Colorado's team total over anyway, and I still am. I love it because I was going to bet Xavier Weaver's over receiving yards prop at 83.5, and I still am. And now there's additional fuel in the fire for Shedeur Sanders to light up a secondary in Colorado State that allowed 50 points and 450 yards to Cam Ward and Wazoo week number one.
Yeah, now I will say this. If you want a silver lining, an incredible bye week after week one for Colorado State, right? They're 0-1 overall, but they had a bye week, so they have an extra week of preparation for the most part. It's amazing when you think about this for Colorado State. I mean, you know, a little bit limited and inexperienced with Millen and Fowler Nicolosi in terms of the quarterbacks for Colorado State. But, you know, if they need to get into a rock fight, again, an ugly type of game. They can't go toe-to-toe with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, so I might favor the under here, especially knowing that if Colorado gets up and let's say it is a fourth quarter game where they're dominating, potentially the back door might be open and they might rest up for the Oregon matchup in week number four.
Yeah, that's why I want to focus really only on the Buffs, right? I want to focus on their team total. I want to focus on a player prop that I want to know they're going to take advantage of where I think the matchups do favor the Buffaloes. Not maybe worrying about covering 23.5 because they're up by 4 scores and then somehow CSU scores late in that Rocky Mountain Showdown. By the way, Colorado has won 5 straight in the Rocky Mountain Showdown. We haven't seen it since 2019. seen. Joe, Colorado is an interesting team, right? We knew there was going to be eyeballs and notoriety following Deion Sanders in his first year at the helm, really all season long. We did not expect the success we have seen out of the Buffs, a perfect 2-0. They went outright as a 3-touchdown underdog against the defending national runner-ups in TCU. They backed that up with a really good performance against Nebraska, and they didn't even play all that well on the defensive side of the football. And there's still room to grow there, in my estimation, Joe, for the Buffs, and I still think there are opportunities for other legitimate teams, not Nebraska, who turns the football over each and every time they get a chance to, and turned it over 4 times on Saturday, making me eat my words and a little bit of crow here. But I do think there's opportunities for teams like Oregon, currently booked as a 14.5-point favorite in Eugene next weekend. The week after, USC takes on Colorado. I do think there are opportunities, Joe, for those offenses keeping care of the football to put up some points against the Buffs. We'll see about that in just a little bit. But, Joe, Colorado's the only team with a win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. They've updated a few more, I should say. But Colorado, one of the few teams that has their own tab on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 6.5 now is the win total for the Buffs. The over has the juice at -162. Joe, at the end of the year, we'll look back on these first 2 weeks and we'll follow the show that has been Deion Sanders. That was going to be a part of it. But at the end of the year, what do you think Colorado's win-loss record will look like?
I still think it's probably 6-6. And again, that defense could hold up, and they played well against Nebraska. But, I mean, they're going to have to play some really good quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix. You know, what do we get from the defense when they face up against those type of quarterbacks in terms of a Pac-12 environment? I believe they play Oregon State in DJU. I got to look at that as well. That's a sophisticated, run-heavy type of offense as well. So I'm going to say 6-6. Overall, best scenario, in my opinion, 7-5. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we're going to look at the schedule right now for Colorado the rest of the way. And you're right, Joe, it gets a lot more difficult. But all of these games weren't necessarily considered to be a walk in the park for the Buffs as well. Maybe this Colorado State game, Joe, was going to be the one where they were favored in their non-conference, 20.5 against TCU, an 8.5-point preseason underdog against Nebraska. Of course, that line flipped to be in favor of the Buffs by the time we got the kick last Saturday in Boulder. But they're at Oregon next week. It's already a 14.5-point spread in favor of the Ducks. They host USC the final Saturday in September. USC is going to be favored in that football game. If not, we will jump all over the Trojans. And then they go to Arizona State, take on Stanford at home. That's the weaker part of their Pac-12 schedule. A bye week Saturday, October 21st. And then they go at UCLA, welcome Oregon in. They host Arizona at Wazoo, at Utah to end the year, Joe. So, yeah, they're probably going to be, after this week, what, favored, you would think, in 2 to 3 more games, depending on how things play out? I mean, hey, they could end up being favorites at UCLA, or who knows what. I don't think they're going to be favored against Oregon State, but they'll probably be favored, if you're looking at it right now, Joe, Arizona State, maybe. That's on the road in Tempe. Stanford at home and Arizona at home, you would think, based on what the Buffs have shown us so far, favored in those games, but we're talking right around that margin of 6.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's why I think it's difficult, right? You know, if we're looking at just matchups right here, right now, going to Eugene's not tough. I give them a loss back-to-back with Caleb, another loss, so they have 2. I give them a loss potentially with a very run-heavy offense in UCLA, potentially 3. And then the last 2, I think, are very difficult, along with Oregon State. I mean, you know, flip a coin on the Oregon State and DJU quarterback that you get on the road. So that's why I'm sticking to, like, 7-5 top. Ben.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Colorado's exceeded every expectation set for them in this first year under Deion Sanders, right? So if they continue to exceed expectation, maybe it's not that we were off on Colorado or that Colorado has outperformed what was thought of them. It's that the expectation was wrong the entire time, that we thought this experiment of changing over 69 new scholarship players in the transfer portal madness that was this past offseason in Boulder, that we thought would take some time to gel, really hasn't been the case. But we'll get those proof prove it moments at Oregon. USC on the horizon the next two Saturdays in September after this third Saturday in September. Lisey, speaking of the third Saturday in September, that's a rivalry matchup this weekend in Gainesville between Florida and Tennessee. Right now, when you look at that line, it is in favor of the Vols on the road in Gainesville in the swamp. But Lisey guy, it's a number that is only 6.5 under a touchdown. Do you think the Vols go on the road and cover, winning by at least 7 points?
I'm going to call for the upset. You know, Florida's won four of the last five. The run, they pounded the rock for 327 last week against McNeese State. Front seven only giving up 87 rushing yards per game. And not the same offense with Joe Milton. A little more balanced. Third down offense, inconsistent, 33%. That's a cause of concern for me. Even though Joe Milton's playing well, I don't know if they're as explosive as they were last year with Hendon Hooker and Napier. Last 2 years, 5-2 is an underdog.
Listen, it's a line that is really, really saying to me, that's a swamp line. That's a gator line. I would agree, Joe. I think it's closer than 6.5. Maybe Tennessee has the edge, but we'll see what Trevor Etienne and what Graham Mertz can do in a big spot against Tennessee. That defense is legit. We'll come back on Football Full Circle in just a few minutes live right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more minutes. Lisey, do you remember where you were on October 23rd, 2021? Do you remember what you were doing, what you were watching?
October 23rd, well, it was COVID, right? So I was, LSU, Florida.
No, it's the wrong answer. What we're looking for, Joe, October 23rd, 2021, was a historic Saturday in State College, Pennsylvania. Penn State and Illinois played a football game that featured 9 overtimes. The Illini won outright 20-18 after those 9 extra sessions in the 2-point conversion off that still remains the longest ever FBS game in college football history. So, Lisey, for the first time since that historic day in Happy Valley, the Illini and the Nittany Lions meet once again on Saturday, this time in Champaign. Penn State, a 14.5 point favorite. The total is 48.5.
Yeah, they never, Yursich never went to Jahan Dotson in the 9 overtimes. You want to tell me why in terms of that? Cost Penn State a potential shot at the college football playoff door. They had no juice when they went on the road the following week against Ohio State. Don't get me started. It's Drew Aller's first Big Ten road game. I know Illinois' defense sucks, but I like Luke Altmaier. I like the rushing attack. I'm rolling the dice. Big chest Brett Bielema gets it done. Covers against Penn State.
Oh, okay, covers, right?
Yep.
Not an outright win because both you and I
Penn State has Iowa on deck.
Okay. All right. Big chest, Brett Bielema.
Big
More
belly.
Like big. Yeah. I was gonna say big gut, Bert. We love you, man. We love you. We don't mean any offense. He's Joe Lisi. That's the mastermind of the Pigskin. I am Ben Stevens. We'll see you tomorrow on Football Full Circle on a Friday, setting the stage for week number 2 of the Sunday slate in the NFL and week number 3 in college football. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, keep it locked to SportsGrid Radio.